Your greetings in Jesus' precious name. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to his spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. For as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the God of Israel. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. A number of precious verses in this passage, and I'm just going to draw attention to one, and that's number 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. Goodness is a result. Let us do good, especially unto them of the household of faith. And I believe that household of faith is referring to the world over. May we all kneel for prayer.
Good to see each of you tonight. Greetings in Jesus' name. Thank you, Brother Dustin, and for each of you who obeyed his offer for you to move forward. It's appreciated here tonight. Be helpful tonight to have your Bible open to where Brother Laverne read. We don't really plan to get past the first five verses, but we'd like to look closely here at these first five verses of Galatians 6 in an expository manner. As Christians, we need to be responsible for our relationship to God, what we do with everything He gives us, what we do with His Word. As Christians, we also have responsibilities toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's mainly what we're interested in here tonight as we look at these verses. Christian duties, one to another. In the preceding chapter, in verse 13, we see liberty there in Christ is not licensed to be selfish. It says there, but by love, serve one another. And also verse 14 in that chapter says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We serve God tonight, brothers and sisters, by serving one another. We're not for ourselves in the Christian experience. We don't isolate ourselves and decide we can just be a Christian and ignore everyone else. It's just us and God. It's not the way it is. Tonight, we are part of a body of Christ. And as a body of Christ, you and I need each other. None of us needs to feel independent from everybody else. We need each other. And the sooner we realize that and admit it, the better off we'll be. And that works both ways. That would be the challenge tonight, that as a body, we would recognize the needs among us and be available and be used of God to His glory, to the strengthening, the edifying of one another. Verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6, brethren, if a man, and it will happen, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye, which are spiritual, restore such an one. How? In the spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted. First of all, overtaken. If a man be overtaken, if a man be discovered, if a man be caught breaking God's law, if a man find himself in sin, transgressing God's commandment, this man has been overtaken. If any man be overtaken, if any man be found sinning, or trapped in a sin that he is repeating, or she, and is struggling in and is trapped in. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, what does this mean? This means, hopefully, many members of the body. Definitely many lay members, deacons, ministers, whoever they are throughout the body, they who which are spiritual, those who are not only living in the Spirit, but the Bible says there in Galatians 5:25, they that live in the Spirit should also walk in the Spirit. Those who are obeying God, who are purposing to live according to God's word, by the grace of God, these are the spiritual. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, ye who are walking with the Lord with all purpose of heart and with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you're desiring to please God and obey the scriptures, you are the spiritual. And you have a job to do here tonight. The next phrase, restore such a one. We need to consider this word restore. To recover, to bring back to former condition of life, to bring to a sense of sin, an amendment of life, says Webster, and he references Galatians 6 right there. A wonderful old dictionary. To bring to a sense of sin an amendment of life, amending our life, amending our ways, so that they line up once more with God's word. So, when one of the body falls into sin, someone else in the body must be coming to their aid, must be ready to hold them up, must be ready to rebuke to the point that they are brought to repentance and an amending of their ways, that they might return to spiritual health and vitality and strength and energy in Christ that they once had. At this point of having been overcome, this brother or sister, and it's your brother, it's my sister, it's your sister, at this point of having been overcome, they are weak, they are beaten down, they are vulnerable, very vulnerable, brother and sister, to further attack from the enemy. And if left go, and if they are not rushed to, and we don't come alongside of them and put our arms around them and lift them up with the proper encouragement and exhortation and admonishment, the enemy is going to make shipwreck of their life. At this point, they need you and they need me. because they are weak and vulnerable. It is our Christian duty, each one of us tonight, to do what we can to restore a brother or sister through counseling, through sharing time with, through prayer, through instruction, reproof, whatever it is that they need. Praying for them. Praying for them, not just with them, but in secret. Restore is a great work of the church. It's a great work of the brothers and sisters of a body of believers. Restore such a one. Restore, the original word, carries the sense of resetting a broken bone or a dislocated joint. Resetting it, putting the bone back in joint. Or taking the splintered limb and resetting it so that it can heal. This is what the original word restore carries with it. A dislocated joint physically leaves the person in pain and unable to function properly. Unable to really protect themselves and to make their way in life. The member of your local body who is overtaken by sin is hurting and unable to function properly on their own and needs help in being restored. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 25 and 26. That there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Do you get that? All the members suffer with it. Do we do this? Do we experience this as a member of a body of Christ? Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. 1 Corinthians 12 goes on and on through that chapter talking about the body of Christ and how the members need one another. The body is not one member, but many, back in verse 14 and 15. If the foot shall say, behold, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And on and on it goes there. But here we are to feel the pain of the person who, so to speak, has a bone out of joint. And they need help, and they need it reset. Spiritually, they need help to get back where they need to be so that they can once more grow and walk in a positive, upward way with their Lord. Restore, it's the same word that is used, and this time it is brought out to us in our English Bible, the word mending. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21, Jesus is calling unto himself four fishermen to be disciples. And the Bible says they are mending their nets. They are restoring their nets. They are fixing their nets. They are putting their nets back in order, back in place. They are putting the broken pieces back where they belong. Like a bone out of joint. It's the same word that we have here in our scripture tonight in Galatians 6 and verse 1. To restore such a one. And the Bible says as we do that, we do it in the spirit of meekness. Broken or out of joint bones, if you have one or I had one, we take comfort in the fact that we believe the physician that will work on us is going to do so with calmness and with patience. He's not going to be hasty. He's not going to be in a hurry, and he's not going to be reckless, and he's not going to be rough and indifferent to our condition. But he's going to be handling the patient gently, tenderly. This word speaks of. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of tenderness, in the spirit of being gentle. Just so the hurting member is to be approached meekly, gently, tenderly, not in haste and not in anger. When reproofs and corrections are handled calmly and gently and proceed with sincere affection and concern, they have a much greater chance of being effective. A much greater chance of being effective. And the one being approached, the one being ministered to, will sense the sincerity of heart and the pain that the one coming is feeling with them. Sharing in that pain, as we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, the verse concludes. Another reason to approach another in meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Don't go to that brother or sister with an arrogant attitude that you would never do what they have done. And slim chance that they would ever listen to you. And that your speech would be effective on their spiritual soul's behalf. Because they will see the arrogance that you come with. God forbid that we would go forth with that proud, superior attitude that I'm going to straighten you out, but this would never happen to me. No, rather we are to restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted, possibly by the same sin, and fall into it and be trapped. Before going to a brother or sister who needs reproof, who needs corrected, who needs brought to repentance, remember all the sins that God has forgiven you for. And I can remember all the sins that God has forgiven me. And think how you would want to be treated with the roles reversed. And then we will be ready to go in the right motive and attitude and spirit. Think of the roles being reversed. In other words, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Holds true here in Galatians 6:1. Verse 2, the scripture goes on here and says, bear ye one another's burdens. And so, by doing that, so fulfill the law of Christ. In context, verse 2 here, the burdens are the moral faults of verse 1. In context, however, the application could go wider than that, I realize. Other trials and troubles could enter in here and apply. But in context, verse 2 is referring back to verse 1. Bear ye one another's burdens. Those things that others have been burdened down with spiritually, moral faults, sins that have been fallen into. We must be ready to comfort, ready to counsel, ready to help and assist those with burdens. Because, brothers and sisters, their burdens might be ready to drown them and disable them completely in the face of their enemy, the enemy of their soul. And the Bible says, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ by bearing one another's burdens. What is this law of Christ that bearing one another's burdens will fulfill? The law of Christ. It's the law of Christianity. It is the law of love. It requires us to have forbearance, to offer forgiveness, sympathy, compassion, tenderness toward the one that is hurting spiritually. This is Jesus, the law of Christ. The law of Christ in totality, his life in total, his ministry in total, Christianity. Compassion, sympathy, tenderness, love. Following Jesus' pattern and example, which have the force of a law onto you and I. Brothers and sisters, tonight we are not without law. We have a law tonight, and our law is the law of Christ. His ministry, his life, that we are to pattern ourselves after. We are obligated, as followers of Christ, to fulfill the law of Christ. Jesus bears with us, does he not? He bears with you, and he bears with me. He sympathizes with you, and he sympathizes with me. Many times he has to be very patient with me, because I seem to be a slow learner and I repeat offenses. But Jesus does that for me. He's an advocate for me. He intercedes for me. He defends me before his heavenly Father. And so Jesus is doing all that for you and for me tonight. Despite our weakness, despite our selfishness, despite our foolishness many times. The Bible tells us that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Yeah, you and I are prone to wonder. God is always calling us back. And when one of the flock wonders, you and I are calling back. Come back. Into full fellowship with Jesus and with your brothers and sisters. We must be this way for one another to fulfill the law of Christ. As Christians, yes, we are free from the law of Moses, but we are obligated to the law of Christ. His ministry, his life, his law of love. The duty tonight of bearing one another's burdens is to fulfill the law of Christ. And our responsibility as brothers and sisters in a body of believers is to bear one another's burdens, is to restore such an one. Verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. 4. This verse starts with 4. It obviously refers back to the previous verse when it starts with the word for. 4. If a person is conceited and proud, inflated idea of their self, thinking himself better and wiser than other people, the duties in the preceding verses will not get done. They will not be carried out. And if they are attempted, they won't be carried out in the right spirit. And the one being approached will know it. And the efforts will be totally hindered. The man who thinks himself morally above reproach will have no sympathy for a spiritually burdened brother and will condemn and judge rather than help them and actually bear their burden. For if a man think himself to be something, the next phrase says, when he is nothing. He has nothing to base his superior attitude on. Because he also is a sinner dependent upon God's grace and love. He deceiveth himself. A man that thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, the tragedy of it all is he deceiveth himself. First of all, he can't bear his brother's burden. He can't restore his brother. So now who's going to do it? But on top of that, he deceives his own self. He weakens himself. He makes himself blind to his own faults. You see it here? He deceives himself in thinking he is something when he is nothing. He's not only no help to his brother or sister, he is hurting himself. He is weakening himself. He is going to go headlong down through life, continuing to sin where he has blind spots because he has deceived himself into thinking he is something that he is not. That's what it says here in verse 3. Not able to see his way, not able to see his faults. Therefore, he is jeopardizing his own soul. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. In lowliness of mind, with a proper view of oneself, let each esteem other better than themselves. With this kind of an attitude, we can be approachable. And others will receive our admonition far quicker than if they are approached with arrogancy, with a better than thou attitude. Yes, when one deceives his own self, thinking he is something that he is not, he jeopardizes his own soul. There's more admonition concerning that thought. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Notice that phrase tonight. We have it in verse 2 of our scripture. Bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. You see it repeated in the scripture many times. Here in Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Look at verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. We have this relationship in our Christian experience as part of a body of believers. It's one another. You are not yourself. You are not alone. We are a body and we relate one to another. And it's so important how we relate that it can be in a helpful way, in a building up way, in an encouraging way, in a healing kind of a way. Be of the same mind one to another, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend. Go down to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. There's that relationship, one with another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law, this law of Christ. The blessed law of Christ. Owe no man anything but to love one another. When you do that, you have fulfilled the law. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How can we hold back forgiveness as children of a God who has forgiven us? so much more than we would ever be asked to forgive another person. If you're ever struggling with forgiveness, remember the cross of Calvary and the blessed Son of God who hung there and how he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he's saying, Father, forgive Glenn. Father, forgive whatever your name is. Think about it. And then forgive. Forgive. First Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. Verse 4 of our text. But let a man prove him his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. The self-deception in verse 3 is at least partly caused by focusing on the sins and faults of another person. So, what we're being told here is let every man prove, or what the word means is let every man examine his own work, his own life before the spotlight and revealer of God's word and God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let every man prove his own work. Let every man examine his own life and get your eyes off and your judgment off your brother and sister when there is something wrong in your own life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, that it is not wise when we, as God's people, compare ourselves among ourselves. It's a huge mistake. The natural man in us, the old man, the flesh, tends to do that in order to make ourselves feel better. But we don't get anywhere doing that. And we remain in verse 3 where we have deceived ourselves, thinking we're something that we're not, unable to see our own faults and sins. We need to get our eyes off our brother or sister at this point in this lesson and prove or examine our own work, our own life, our own deeds that are plain before God who sees all. And do they agree with the Word of God? That verse concludes, shall have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. Real and true joy is in realizing that God's grace is the reason that we are who we are in Christ. We're not going to have true joy, and we're not going to really truly rejoice when we sort of just kind of lift ourselves up and pat ourselves on the back when we compare ourselves with somebody that's fallen. We're going to end up miserable. We're not going to have the joy of the Lord that way. But when we look at ourselves and examine ourselves, then we're going to have rejoicing that we never would have had if we wouldn't have taken an inward look to see where we stand before our Almighty and Holy God. Rejoice in himself alone, in looking at his own life instead of the lives of others. Looking to the grace of God, remembering that we are who we are. Any good that can be said about any one of us is because of the grace of God, and we need to come back to that. And that is something that we can rejoice in and be full of joy. Verse 5 of our text, for every man shall bear his own burden. Why must we not compare ourselves with others? Because every man shall bear his own burden. The specific task and responsibility that God gives each one of you and gives me as individuals shall be our own. And we need to bear that responsibility, that which God has given to us to bear. Instead of comparing oneself with the moral weakness of others, examine your life in view of what God expects of you in His Word. And in this, we will be bearing our own burden. There is no contradiction here between verses 2 and 5. The Greek word in verse 2, where it says, bear ye one another's burdens, that word burdens is baros, it means moral weakness. Too heavy to bear alone. And so a brother, a sister needs someone to help bear. Someone to come alongside of them and encourage them. The Greek word in verse 5 is fortion, meaning a personal responsibility that can and should be borne by the individual. The day is coming in which every individual will give account to God for the deeds done in the body, for the life that was lived here on earth. Bear ye one another's burdens in verse 2, but now we're talking about let every man bear his own burden. Nobody is going to come alongside of you when you face God in judgment and you answer for yourself. No other man, no other woman is going to help you answer. So the scripture says, every man shall bear his own burden. You have a responsibility before God that nobody else can totally make your mind up about. We can do our part in verse 2, and we can bear one another's burdens, and we can encourage each other in the right direction. And they have burdens that we have to help them with. But when it boils down and we meet God, we have had our burden that we were responsible to bear. Our life before Him and in obedience to His word. And so it behooves us to regularly prove or examine, verse 4, our lives in the light of God's word. Christian duties tonight, here in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, restore others, bear the burdens of others, keep a proper view and humility of ourselves. Examine ourselves and bear our own responsibilities. May God bless each one of us and help us in this walk with the Lord.